sensational teachings given in the Bible, the book of Daniel. We do know that he became a very powerful, influential politician. In fact, you go to Daniel 2, verse 48, it says he was ruler over the whole province of Babylon. He was the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. So, here in the midst of a pagan culture, away from home, with a pagan king who sees potential in him, one of the few young men chosen to be groomed in the leadership in a position in the Babylonian Empire. Nothing's withheld from Daniel for his leadership. He has it all. What a future. Now, bigger picture. It's very hard for Jews in that time to stay faithful to the Mosaic law regarding their diet when they were in foreign lands. So now Daniel is faced with a dilemma. What do I do? Which of the values that have I been taught that I will live out? I'll practice the values. Now, we're going to see in verses 11 through 16 that three of his buddies followed his example. So now, what do we do about this? Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. That word defile means moral or ceremonial defilement. In this case, Daniel would have defiled himself both ways. Number one, by eating unclean foods that were served, pork and horse flesh, maybe blood might have been drained from the food, but God forbade the Jews to drink blood. And, or maybe it was because he wouldn't eat of the food because of idolatry. Many of the foods had been offered to the Babylonian gods. And to eat this food would be to associate himself with idolatrous worship. So Daniel purposed in his heart, by the way, that's not just external. He purposed in his heart that he would not participate. He considered it a moral and ceremonial defilement to partake in the foods, the diets, etc., of the Babylonian Empire. So what did he do? Well, he appealed to a man by the name of Melzar. He was the overseer, the guard, the chief official. His other name is Ashpenaz. And they came up with an alternative plan. Hey, I'll eat this diet, me and my three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll eat this diet that we have for 10 days, and then you check us out and compare our health with the others. Well, you know the rest of the story. They won. They were allowed to keep their diet, and they gained respect. That was a big deal. By the way, that was a big deal for Daniel and his friends. Why is that? Well, to refuse to eat of the royal food would be an insult to the king, an act of disobedience to his order. Number two, watch this, all of his peers were eating that food, that royal diet. Number three, they would ruin their chance for advancement. Ah, you're rebellious. You kids, you guys, you know, you insist on doing your own thing. You see, Nebuchadnezzar was a very proud man. You'll see that later in the book. And one day he walked into his palace, actually. He looked out over the empire. He said, wow, look at all these things that I have built. Look at what I have done. I am so great. So we know he was proud. And you go to the rest of Daniel 4, that'll tell you. Well, why was this a big deal? Well, because the quality of the food was good. It was the best in the land. Number five, no one would know except the exiles with them. Basically, he was isolated from his family. Now, many of them may still be in Judah, their homeland, 900 miles away. No cell coverage there, no Wi-Fi, no Twitter, no Facebook, I'm just saying. They would never know that Daniel and his friends violated their family's convictions. Yet Daniel and his friends knew one thing. Watch this. God would know. They knew that one day they'd have to give an account to God. So why was this such a big deal? Well, number six, because it would have been easy to pick up an offense like many of the others did. You say, what do you mean? Well, after all, God hadn't protected them from being taken captive. God had allowed them to be taken in this horrible situation. Actually, their houses, everything, was leveled to the ground. They had nothing to go to. So you would wonder why they weren't bitter. So why do we have to be so careful to obey God's commands? Look what that gets us into. Bitterness toward God. Well, somewhere along the way, Daniel chose to honor God's word and his parents. Now let's talk about this. The king gives them an education. Best in the land. The king feeds them and trains them. Best training. One problem, they're Jewish. They've been brought up with strong standards. It's important that they keep the dietary laws. They're brought into a situation where they have placed before them things to eat, beverages that violate their convictions. That's why this is such a powerful passage. It says, but Daniel, watch this, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So how did that happen? How on earth did a teenage boy who was kidnapped and taken by a foreign country to be under the rule of a proud pagan king, a king who had overthrown many other empires, how on earth did a young man like that stay strong in his convictions? Why did he, along with the three Hebrew young men, stick with their convictions while all the others compromised and actually bowed to the idol of the king? Why not them? Well, here it is. One word. Values. Values. Say that with me. Values. What's our values? Well, God's word is our authority. We will honor God. That's our value. We will honor our parents. That's our values. So why is Daniel mentioned and not the dozens of others, maybe hundreds of other young men who have been taken captive? Why Daniel? And why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And I think it's because they had answered three major questions in their life. And this is what we looked at earlier. Who am I? What am I? And why am I? And I think that's three of the most important questions that we can ask. And may I say, how we answer those determines the way we live now. It determines what we do. It determines our companions. Hey, it determines, young people, who you marry. It determines what your vocation will be. It determines the very direction of your family, parents. It determines your schooling, and on and on and on. So, let's talk about it. Who am I? Daniel, you're only a captive. You're only an adolescent. That's what many would say. You know, may I say, someone's always there to answer those questions for you. I'll tell you who you are. You're a jerk. You're a nerd. You're dumb. You're smart. You're talented. Here's who you are. You're popular. Here's who you are. You're pretty. Another person says, yeah, you're pretty ugly. That's who you are. You're skinny. You're fat. Too much hair. Too little hair. You're not spiritual. You're spiritual. And you could go on and on and on. Someone's always there to answer the question, who am I? Then what am I, Daniel? You're only a slave. You're a boy. You're brought into the king's court to be one of the king's little pet slaves. You're there for the king to show off to visiting dignitaries. That's what you are. Look at your size, somebody says to you. Look at your face. Look at the color of your skin. Look at your family situation. You're only a second-class person. And you are not worthy to be placed into a leadership position. Hey, you're a terrible singer. You're really a bad communicator. You know that? Give it up. You're not a cool person like we are. You're not an athlete. Oh, you're an athlete. You're not one of the elite. And you could go on and on. Who am I? What am I? Now, why am I? Daniel, here's why you are. You're here to honor Jehovah God. You're available for God to use. Well, you go to some and they say, here's why you are. You're here simply to make people laugh. You're funny. You're the church comedian. You're the school comedian. Do drugs. That's why you're here. get high. That's why you're here. You're here on the face of this earth. Here's why you're here. To make money. That's why you're here. You're here to be popular. Have good grades. Be a good athlete. Hey, you're here to serve God. You're here to serve people. You always have somebody there to tell you who you are, what you are, and why you are. So, who am I? Daniel says, I'm a young man full of potential for God. I'm a young man who's purposed in my heart to bring glory and honor to Jehovah God. I'm a young man who will be content doing and being all I can in the will of God. That's who I am. What am I? I'm a child of God. I'm a servant of the Most High. I'm a young man with a heritage and a spiritual conviction. Why am I? I am here simply to make God look good. I'm not here to be elevated, actually to be a position in the power of this land. I'm simply alive to bring glory to God. That's all. You see, this is why Daniel didn't give in to peer pressure. He had asked himself these three questions. He had attached God's values to each of them. Did you notice what I said? He's attached God's values to each one of them. Who am I? What am I? Why am I? Now let's go a little bit deeper. How you answer these questions depends on your values. What are your values? Let me give you some values. You have values as far as your appearance. That's your looks. Your build. Your nose. Your ears. Your hair. Your color. Your height. Your weight. Your smell. Your eyes. Glasses. Your appearance. What's God's values as far as your appearance? The way you dress. How about your abilities? That's your talents, your intelligence, your capabilities. Have you attached God's values to your abilities? How about your parentage, your race, your religious background, your parents, your lack of parents, your vocation, your personality, all of this? God's values in that area. How about God's values as far as your environment? Your social, financial status. What's God's values? What's God's values on your finances? What's God's values on the size of your family? What's God's values as far as your education opportunities? How about your character? Respect for authority? Is that God's values? Responsiveness to God and His Word? Is that God's values? Your schedule? What's God's values on your schedule? On your attitude? On your view of the church? You know, once in a while, you'll find a person who sets his own set of values, watch this, based on God's point of view. And they will not accept the wrong values others are attempting to place on them as far as their appearance, their abilities, their parentage, their environment, and their character. Amen? Are you with me? Say amen if you're with me. I think of David. Thank the Lord. He did not accept the values his brothers placed on him. You naughty boy. You came to see the battle because of the naughtiness of your heart. Remember David's response? Is there not a cause? There's something bigger than you guys involved here. It's the very reputation of God. It's the very reputation of God's armies. Bring it on, Goliath. I remember hearing of a young man that didn't talk till he was the age of 3. His teacher said, you know, you're dumb. You're never going to amount to anything academically. So his mother took him out of school. She homeschooled him. You know what? I thank God he didn't accept the values of a stupid, short-sighted, foolish school teacher. Many today would call him the greatest scientist that ever lived. Albert Einstein. God's values. You know, it begs the question, why do people do stupid things? Why did he do that? You say, when you say stupid, what the things that violate God's word? Why did she just do something that would ruin their reputation? From now on, people will look at their yearbook. From now on, they'll think of their name and they'll say, you know, I'm going to have kids. I'm not going to call them that name. You ruined your reputation. Why do they do that to ruin their future? You ask, why do they do that to ruin their potential? Here it is. Because they've never embraced God's values. They've accepted the values of their peers, the values of their environment, the values of their culture. Let me give you some illustrations. You go to some parts of the world and you come and you'll see people with protruding lower lips. Here they are. That's a picture of them. You know, if you have a lower lip that goes way out here, you may be nominated to be the captain or the general of your whole tribe. You know, they've got others with lower protruding earlobes. And then they have some that says as baby skulls. If you can have baby skulls hanging on your belt, maybe you'll be credible enough to lead our tribe. You know, you've got multiple wives, multiple children, multiple cows. All these are value systems. And then you come to some parts of the country where to be valuable, what do you have to do? You have to shave your head. And you have to wear your pants down to your ankle. Hey, to be really cool, sorry to violate your, you don't have to look. You can put your hands over your eyes. But you see it every time you walk down the street. It's funny to see them kind of run, trying to run and hold their pants up. And then you got the man bun. You got, oh man, I want to be cool, man bun. Then there's another tribe, you call them the cell phone tribe. A little mini computer. You look at them, I walked into Penny's over here and walked in the front foyer of it. There were four young people sitting there. They all were communicating with their thumbs. All of them heads down. You walk in, you got the workers, the parents, you got different people, the adults, like this. That seems to be the tribe, the cell phone tribe. And the faster you can text, the better you are. In fact, if you're really cool, you'll sleep with your phone by your head. And then, you know, we're in a generation now, you can text anything you want to people and it will disappear. And what you have is the popularity that you can text dirty pictures of yourself, send them to the girls or boys, and parents can't catch you. Why? Because there's an app that makes that picture disappear within seconds. It's gone. So nobody can catch you. But you know you're cool. You're really cool. That's what your value system is. And then you got another value system. You got to do drugs. Oh, no, we can do drugs now. Marijuana's okay today. The government has okayed them, supposedly. And now you've got dozens and dozens of illustrations of movie stars that we knew years ago caught up with drugs, ending up in suicide, and you see them later, like the bottom picture, and they look like freaks. Drugs. Hey, hey, gang, you're cool if you do drugs. And you got the gangs. I saw interviewed a girl, a little girl who had killed 25 to 30 people. No emotion. She was part of a gang. And little 6 and 7 year olds, they give them a gun. And they say, here, you put your finger on the trigger and we'll help you blow somebody away. So they pull the trigger and kill somebody. Little 6 and 7 year olds. And no wonder, and I'm not saying this was good. What is a little 8-year-old, a little 7-year-old recently that was killed by a gang? Maybe that's behind it. You see that on the news. Then you hear, here's the one. Vaping. This is cool. And it's really cool because you got different flavors. You are really cool, buddy, if you embrace vaping. Oh, hey, it destroys your lungs and health, and now it's disallowed in many of the schools, and some of the states are disallowing it. But you know what? It's cool to vape. Vaping is cool. That's your value system. Hey, Daniel, you want to vape? Then you got some, it's cool to learn the gang signs. Now, how you put your fingers these ways, you're cool if you can know those gang signs. Someone, here's how I see all this. I see them like a whole bunch of penguins on the ice. You know, somebody passes by and all their heads turn and watch. And back and forth. I see them on corners of streets. I see them in vacant lots. I drive up to some of the public schools. They all look the same. They're all like the penguins. Vape, vape, vape. Gang signs. Pants down to their knees. It's like these penguins. They never, never see the results. Look at the results for some of these penguins. They never see the sharks. This is a real picture. They never see that when they embrace some of the world's values, they get eaten up. It destroys their potential. It ruins their lives. And so, you know, for them to be cool, they got to quit school. They got to join the establishment. Hey, burn the flag, change your sex. There is a gang now today, and this has been there for years, that if you want to be cool, commit suicide. How many have heard that or read that? Let me see your hands. Okay, some of you. Yeah, that's a value system. You really want to be cool, you got the suicide gangs. You shave your heads, you wear your earrings, your belly button rings, your long hair, your drugs, your alcohol, your sex. Oh, to be cool, get lots of tattoos. Then you're cool. What is that? That's someone who's embraced a value system that's not God's value system. They don't have the value system that's God's. And so now you've got people telling them, who am I, what am I, and why am I, and the value system of the world. Hey, you go into youth groups and churches, Christian schools. To be cool, you don't sing. Nah, you're singing. You're not cool. You don't give a testimony. Some churches are this way. You don't, listen, you laugh at the authorities when the authorities tell a joke. Ha, 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 ha. You know, oh, you sit back. You slouch down in your chair. You act like you're bored. You make silly, stupid comments all through a message or class. You brag about your sin, even though you didn't commit that sin. You brag about it. For sure, you don't want to be looked at as a spiritual leader. That would be the ultimate of disgrace. And someone's there in your life to answer the questions for you. Who am I? What am I? And why am I? And someone's always there to place their values on your appearance, on your abilities, on your parentage, on your environment and your character. Well, that begs the question. What are God's values? What are God's values? Say I'm here today and I'm saying, you know, that makes sense. I think I've been wishy-washy. I've never embraced the value system of God. Let me suggest some values that are in God's Word. First of all, the authority, your authority is the Word of God. It says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means it's God-breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Watch this. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's God's values. I am embracing God's Word as my authority. If I see it in Scripture, I will obey immediately. It goes to the second value. Obedience immediately with the right spirit. John 14:15, if you love me, Jesus said, what do? Keep my commandments. Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Here's another value. Purity. Go ahead and advance this. There you go. What does 1 Timothy 5:22 say? Keep thyself pure. That's a biblical value. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them. There's your crowd that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. I could say, Peter says to Craig Scott, I'm begging you. You are a foreigner in this country, in this land, and you're a weirdo when it comes to the wrong crowd. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. That's what Peter says. 1 Corinthians 7:1, I love this one. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. It goes on in scripture, it says you can touch a woman if it's your wife. But the word touch here carries the idea of more than simply finger touch. It's involved with embracing one another physically, getting involved in sex. And God says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Interesting. I was at a camp once preaching this, and I gave the illustration. Here it is. Here's what this means. Touch. Touch not. Say that with me. Touch. Touch not. Again. Touch. Touch not. I had a young man come up to me and say, you know, Pastor Scott, you think it's all right for me to kiss my girlfriend? Kiss her? I said, you bet. Just don't touch her. He said, well, I don't know if I can do that. I said, then don't do it. And the word there means more than just this. I know that. Carries the idea of fornication and adultery. Servanthood is another value from God. Jesus said it this way. You want to be head, duck? You want to be great? He says, if you, whosoever be chief among you, Matthew 20, verse 27, let him be your servant. You want to find great people? See the ones who stay around behind and help take down the chairs or help clean the tables or help set up. These are the great ones in God's kingdom. A servant. That's God's values. I love it when I see our young people and their fathers and their mothers at our barbecue that we have once a month during the summer. And then Sunday evening, we turn it to 4 o'clock and we have a barbecue on the grounds. I love to see the young men, the young ladies helping set up, and some of the women go in and doing the dishes. That's the mark of a great servant of God. Servanthood. Another mark of somebody that's great, this is God's values, is the value of humility. Romans 12:3, I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's like, quit strutting. You're not so big. You're not so great. I like saying that to young athletes. You got a young athlete that's first string in a private school, you know, football team, and only 15 guys in the whole school. A couple of girls show up, but he's the captain of the football team. He struts. And then you put his team up against a 5A team, and the score is like 120-0. You ain't so big. There's always someone better than you. And I think one of God's value system is humility. And I'll just say this. I am a Bronco fan, okay? It did bother me to see some of the starters that weren't playing in preseason on the side with their cool hats or big chains, strutting like penguins. Strutting. All the same. We're cool. And now to see them getting the snot kicked out of them in their games. Hopefully we win today. I'm just saying. But you know, one of God's values is that of humility. Another one, hear this, a value that God places on us is to be spiritual. What did Jesus say? The great commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's God's value system. A passion for God. A passion for prayer. A passion for singing, a passion for the Word of God, loving preaching, loving singing, loving testifying, loving memorizing the Word of God, loving to go to church, loving spiritual activities. That's one of God's values. You find these spelled throughout the Scripture. Now, briefly, let's go back through some of these. What's God's value on your appearance? Ever think about that? Did you know when God made you, he didn't make junk? You're not ugly in God's sight. Psalm 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. 1 Samuel 16:7, God doesn't see as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. What's God's value system for the way you dress? Well, for women, it says in 1 Timothy 2:9, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, on and on and on. What's God's value system for you ladies? God's value system is modesty. If a man can look at you and his attention is not brought to your countenance, you're immodest. You want to see if you're immodest enough? You're modest? Then on the side, look at where the guys are looking when you walk. That'll tell you whether you're modest or not. So what's God's value system? First of all, on our appearance. Second of all, on our abilities. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. That's God's value system. That everything I do is done to the glory of God. Isaiah 43:7. Even everyone that's called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I made him. You're here because God made you. And why did God make you? For his glory. Isaiah 43:21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. You know, many times I'll see a young man or a young lady involved in a sport, and I see them win. I saw a granddaughter yesterday win a game. Should have seen the shot, folks. Maybe tonight for the service we'll just show that. We filmed it. Her mom filmed it. I won't mention Anna Scott. But we were behind 3-4, and she came about 3 seconds before the game was over, and took a shot and roofed the goalie. I love to see that when I see a young person that will bring glory to God. When I see them in the football games, when I see professional athletes, when I get online and see that they're leading Bible studies, I have such a, if I wasn't, and if Jeremiah Ross was here, he would say probably a main amen to this. If I wasn't a Bronco fan, I'd be a Raiders fan. Why? Not because of Raiders. It's because their quarterback is a committed Christian that leads Bible studies and disciples people. And you know, he's bought into God's value system. So what's God's value system for your abilities? Be a servant. Have a goal to serve Christ. Understand that God gives you platforms of glory in your job. You've got a job that brings glory to God. God may give you a bigger, a higher platform of glory. Why? That you can have a testimony to more people. By the way, sometimes God takes you a step down so you can give God the glory. Do you know why some people don't use their voice for the Lord? Because they have bad allergies. No, just joking. Here's why you don't sing. You got a great voice. I've listened to you sing. Because someone laughed at you when you were younger and made you feel like it was stupid for you to sing. And you embraced their values. That's why you don't sing now. You know why some people sneak around doing things that are immoral? I understand the flesh. You know why they're embracing young people Snapchatting or pornography? You know why men, they're embracing flirting with other women at work? Because someone told you, if you do that, you're cool. Wrong value system. What about God's value system on your parentage environment? Hey, here's God's value system quickly. 1 Corinthians 1:26-29. God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty and base things of the world. And things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know what? That kid, you young people, that kid at school that everybody bullies, he may grow up and be your boss. That one in the youth group that everybody thinks is really nerdy, nobody wants to sit with him, he may grow up to be one of the greatest evangelists, revivalists, or preachers, or Bible teachers, or businessmen that walks with God the world has ever seen. He didn't buy into your bullying. How about character? Being godly, respecting authority, being a spiritual leader, being faithful, being honest, being right, growing in your spiritual walk, that's character. How about your attitude? I like what it says about Daniel. Daniel 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes. Hey, we want Daniel. Why? Because an excellent spirit was in him. Don't you like that? And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Not because of his education. Not because he was a great fighter. Not because he was a cool dude. But the king chose to put him above all the presidents and princes. Why? He had an excellent spirit. Boy, I want that, don't you? So we get to the so what of a message. Who am I? Let me tell you who you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You hear me? When God made you, he didn't make junk. I think of Bridget. Bridget in our youth group. When I was at South Sheridan, we had a girl named Bridget. Bridget had artificial arm, artificial leg. This girl was artificial. And the boys would say, in those days, had wooden artificial legs and arms. They would say to her, hey, Bridget, why don't you go, there's a pencil sharpener up there. Why don't you go sharpen your arm? One day her mother came to me and said, you know, Pastor, I'm pulling her out of school. She can't handle this anymore. I said, don't do that. Teach her God's value system and why God made her the way he did. Let her embrace it. Well, she stayed. She said, I said to Bridget, I said, you know what, Bridget? God has something very special for you. You stay in the Word. Stay godly. Keep your focus on the Lord. Don't get bitter. Well, one day, I get a call on the phone. I think it was Craig Hospital. One of the hospitals. They said, are you the youth pastor of a girl by the name of Bridget? I said, yes, I am. I said, we have a cheerleader. She's just in a car wreck and just lost her legs. She's having a rough time talking suicide. Do you think you could bring Bridget to talk to her? I went to Bridget and I said, hey, Bridget, guess what? What? And I told her the story and she said, I'll go. So I never forget this. We went to the hospital and went to this girl's cheerleader's room and they said, well, she's down in the lunchroom with her parents. You'll see her. She's on a wheelchair, doesn't have legs. So we went down. Her parents spotted us and came walking maybe 20 yards away. And they came right toward us. And I thought, you know, I got my Bible. They're seeing me, God's man. They didn't see me. They saw Bridget. And they said, we're so glad to see you. Will you come and talk to our daughter? She went to the girl and the girl noticed her artificial limbs. And the girl said, you know, cheerleader said, would you come to my room? I'd like to show you my room. She disappeared with that girl. An hour later, they came back. Bridget had led her to Christ. Bridget had embraced God's value systems for her life. She didn't accept these bullies' value system. She knew who she was and what she was and why she was. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. What am I? You're a diamond in the rough. You're in process. You're full of potential of what God wants to do for his glory. That's what you are. And why are you? You're an individual for whom Christ died. You're here for one purpose, and here it is. You're here to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're here to make God look good. You're here to love him. You're here to serve him with all your heart. I thank God that Daniel went against the peer pressure. Why? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Somewhere along the way, he chose to accept God's values for his appearance, for his abilities, for his parentage, for his environment and character. So what did he do? He requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he would not defile himself. So let me ask you this. Where do you stand in all of this? Who are you? What are you? Why? Why are you? Are you the kind of person that's just vulnerable to peer pressure at work, at school? Why are you that way? I'll tell you why. You've never taken the time to think through God's value systems. That's why you laugh at their dirty jokes, sir. That's why you don't have the courage, ma'am, to say no to a guy that flirts with you at work. You've never chosen to place God's values over all the values in your life. So why did Daniel stand alone for his convictions? And the rest of Israel compromised. He's unusual like he is today, like people are today. He chose to live his life according to God's values. What's our example? Who's our example? Well, there's one who rises far above Daniel, above all the examples in Scripture. What's his name? Jesus Christ. Amen. Who am I? What am I? Where am I? I'm a son of God. God the Son. That's what he says. I left my kingly throne in heaven. Why? To come and die for your sins, the sins of the world. What's my value system, God says? God gave his only begotten Son. That's me, to die for your sins. So Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. So the question for you, do you know him? That's who you are. Are you a Christian? What are you? You're a child of God if you've received Christ. Why are you? Have you committed your heart and life to Jesus Christ? So what's my value system? Here it is. I have committed my heart and my life to please God, to please the Lord Jesus Christ, and to obey his word. Amen? Amen? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Daniel. Thank you for the illustration of a young man who purposed in his heart he wouldn't defile himself. Thank you for that. Thank you for the testimony to us as your people. Your head's bowed, your eyes shut. Let me ask you a question. Young people, old people, everyone. Have you embraced God's value system for your life? Who am I? What am I? Why am I? Is your authority the scripture for everything you say and do?